Well, Sandy did not make that mistake. I did. I put it in the bulletin wrong. I'm retired. We heard in the Jeremiah passage, we didn't have it on the screen, but you heard Jeremiah sharing the word of the Lord. He's sharing what God was telling the people. Now, we have to back up and remember that this is the period, this is the diaspora period. The Jews have been conquered, and Cyrus of Persia has taken all of the cream of the nation, has hauled them off to Babylon. They are living as prisoners, as conquered ones. They are in diaspora. And they're trying to maintain their religion. You can imagine the struggle that must have been. How do you remain good, faithful Jewish amongst a people that are totally different religions, a whole culture that's different? And it was a full generation. It was a long period of time there. And the people were worried, are we going to get just assimilated? Syncretization is, excuse me. Welcome fall. But that assimilation that comes when you begin to intermarry. Think about that a moment. You're a faithful Jewish family and you've got daughters, but they marry men of the culture. Which religion are they going to follow? There's this danger of merging, of being absorbed, being, again, assimilated. And so some of the priests and leaders of the community were very forcefully urging them, keep yourself separate. Don't be involved. Wait, because the Lord will return us. And Jeremiah came with the word of the Lord that said, yes, the time will come when you will be returned to your homeland. But in the meantime, grow where you're planted. Prosper where you are. Give your sons into marriage. Let your daughters marry into those around there. Invest in the society around you. Be a part of that. Be an active, vital part of growing that, because that society is supporting you. It was a word that probably a lot of the Jews were startled to hear, because they had maintained a culture with such high, strict boundaries around their religion, around their faith. You were either in or you were out. There was no in between. I look at our world today and I'm seeing a permeable boundary between church-going Christians and Christians that really are Christians by name alone, that are baby Christians. I have no criticism thereof, but they're not very well informed of the faith. They don't have the background. They don't have the depth. They don't have all of the understandings. They haven't studied the parables. I would guess out of every 10 people you meet on the street, if you asked about the Good Samaritan, the majority of them would think Samaritans were good people, that they were favored people. It's a Good Samaritan in the Bible. And yet the Good Samaritan is just the opposite of that. This is a Samaritan is an outcast, was one that nobody would have anything to do with. You were forbidden to interact with Samaritans. They were a ritually unclean. Their nation was unclean ritually. Whenever I talk about this, I think I should find a common analogy for today, but I have hesitated because to name a group as a group that we hate together is to go in a direction that is unacceptable, if that makes sense. But think about people that are the ones that we avoid, whether we should or not, the ones that we don't have anything to do with. Those other ones, those were the Samaritans. And so here it is, the people interacting with all kinds. Jeremiah's word is the opposite of what everyone expected. They were supposed to prosper where they were. Now, why would you invest and put your effort and your energy into building up Babylon? This is the country that captured you, that conquered you, that has dragged you away. But God's words direct them. Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Multiply there and do not decrease. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its welfare you will find your welfare. There's an interesting message here. The Lord is with them wherever they are. The Lord is with us wherever we are. Sometimes we don't feel like that. We feel like, you know, out there in the world, we want to come back into this church sanctuary back where God is. But the minute we all walk out of here, God isn't here. God is out there with us. And sometimes we need to think that through. It's like teachers. Some kids, young kids especially, believe that their teachers live at the school. They see them there, you know, I thought you lived right here. And that sense that this is where they are. But I can assure you that when we are all absent from this place, God isn't sitting here by God's self. God is out there in our midst. Amen. There is a wider message as well, and that is prosper where you're planted when you're planted. When I first came into the conference, it's been a while. This was in 1988. I was ordained a deacon. And at that point in time, we were almost all men, all the clergy of our conference. It was interesting to go to annual conference and sing hymns. It was all these deep bass and baritone voices. It was strong voices, but it wasn't until we began to see a growth of the female clergy that our voices balanced. And so to sing together was truly harmonic. It was a beautiful thing. But in those early days, there was a system of the itinerancy. You know that I am just an itinerant preacher. Or it used to be till I retired. Now that I'm retired, I don't have to itinerate. So, itinerate means that if the bishop calls you up on the phone and says, tomorrow you're moving to a new church, that I would have to go. And I know a few preachers that did have to happen to them. On the spur of the moment, literally in a week's time, they moved from one church to another unexpectedly. It didn't happen often, thankfully, because that's awfully hard on preachers and families. But the other part of that was that preachers were moved around. How many pastors has Burns had? I should have counted before this sermon, but there's a bunch. 3 years, 4 years, 2 years, 5 years, 6 years. I'm beginning to get to be one of the long ones here. I've been here since 2015. How many years is that, Mark? 20. A bunch. Too long? At any rate, it used to be that if you were changed every couple of years, and when you were changed, you were moved to a church with a little better salary, maybe a little more affluent, maybe a little more prestigious. So the clergy would come into the conference, and they would try and jump through as many of those little churches that they could quickly to get up to the church that they wanted to be in. They were ready to serve the church, but they were stuck in this little podunk church waiting for the right move, the right appointment to that church. A lot of churches suffered from that. And the conference actually attempted to implant a law that said that if you stayed less than 10 years, you paid a fine. It got voted down. At any rate, that's not the same anymore. If you ask for a change, you may be looking at a change up or a change down, a change from a larger church to a smaller church, to a more preferred location, to a lesser preferred location. But that sense of waiting till you're there is pertinent. I'm a bit of a tinkerer. I don't know if you knew that. But I've always wanted to have a shop set up so I could really tinker. A shop that was a shop set up to tinker in. And I've been doing this since I was in high school. I remember working in all different places. One of the places I worked in was a garage with two cars in it. And somehow I managed to build a dovetail bookcase in there that's beautiful. I suppose some days and look at it and think, wow, I did a darn good job. And I did it not in a nicely outfitted shop, but I did it where I was, In the midst of where I was planted, I was able to prosper. I have to remember that sometimes. I have to back up and say, I'm here now. What can I do? And I can do this much and not wait for what will be. There is no biding our time waiting till it's due with the Lord. You remember what he said? The thief comes in the night. Act now. It's been interesting to be retired because I always thought, when I'm retired, I will. And I had a list of things to do. Now that I see some retired people, Richard Sneer has spoiled me. I'll never completely retire like Richard is. I don't think I have the energy. He is the busiest, hardest working person I know of, and you're doing it wrong, Richard, as far as I can tell. I don't know. We are blessed and we are grateful for the work you do, so I'm being satirical here. But nonetheless, what is it that I am not doing that I would do if that time comes? So be thankful now. Prosper now. And oddly, this ties in with that other scripture that Sandy almost didn't read. She took off on the millstone sermon, which I preached on last week, and I thought, since I'm preaching on that, I guess I better interrupt her. I apologize for interrupting you in the middle of reading, Sandy, but the Samaritans, the 10 lepers, and one of them is a Samaritan. That's an interesting piece, and it comes at the very end of this story. There are these 10 lepers, and they turn to the Lord and says, "Heal us, Lord. Who among us, when we are ill, has not prayed, Lord, heal me, help me, fix me." And such is appropriate and such is all right. But Jesus responds, and his response is interesting. Instead of doing some ceremony and say, "You are healed," he says, "Go and show yourself to the priests." Well, is this reinforcing the priests and showing that the priests can heal them? The text catches this right there. As they went, they were made clean. In obeying his directive, he cleansed them. So they all go, they're all cleansed. You can imagine being cleansed of leprosy. Leprosy wasn't just a disease that was troubling and fatal eventually, but it meant you were an outcast. You could not be a part of society. You had to stay away from. When you walked into a town, you had to shout, "Unclean, unclean," so people could move away from you. It was an awful existence. And here that has all changed. They have been cleansed. They have been renewed. They have been brought back into community. Life-changing. And not because they asked, but because they were obedient and did what he directed. Go, show yourself to the priests. And when they were obedient, they were made clean. Hooray, celebrations, parties, congratulations, reuniting, reunions, all kinds of wonderful things. And they all went on their way, except the one Samaritan. The Jews, all of them, the other nine were all Jewish, faithful Jews. You would expect that these are good church people. Do we sometimes do the same thing? We are part of God's family. Do we take for granted the things? Do we not pause often enough and say, "Lord, thank you for this"? I don't know. But graphically, the Good Samaritan comes back to give thanks, and Jesus says to him, "Were there not 10 of you made whole? Where are the other 9? So the message is kind of a blend of, we are here. We are blessed to be here. We give thanks. And now is the time to be the Christians we're called to be, to prosper, to grow where we're planted, to be the people we're called to be. And never take God's love and God's grace for granted. Amen? Amen. Amen.